Elizabeth. We invite you to stand. We will begin our service this morning by singing hymn number 790 in your cranberry hymnal. That's 790, and we'll do verses 1 and 2. Let us pray. Spirit of God, source of life, be in our hearts and minds as we join together to pray for our world. As we recognize the tiredness in our bones and in our hearts, we call upon your strength so we might be the people that we are called to be. Help us to renew our hearts this day. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. When I was 20 years old, long time ago, right? About to begin my third year of college, I started dating a wonderful young woman who I had hoped might one day be my wife. However, about 2 years after she and I started dating, it appeared that my hope in the lifelong prospects of our relationship were painfully misguided. Or as my friends so graciously pointed out to me at the time, I got dumped. Some call it breaking up, some call it parting ways, some call it going in different directions. My friends were not aware of such euphemisms. And when it all happened, they said, "Dude, you got dumped." I do remember feeling like a massive heap of romantic rejection being dumped all over me. And now, as I think back to those soul-searching days in the fall of 2001, I remember a few things. First, I remember watching a lot of terrible romantic comedies. I remember eating a lot of ice cream sandwiches. But what I remember most was that I felt loss and I felt lost. L-O-S-S and L-O-S-T. I was lost in loss. Because that's what I had hoped for was all of a sudden no longer my lived reality. Up to that point, I thought she was the one. I thought that we would have this long life together. I thought that maybe she and I would one day try to have children and have this wonderful family of Green Bay Packer fans. Oh, perhaps it was the last part that scared her off. Maybe that was it. It was clear that she didn't share those plans. And I remember feeling embarrassed and afraid and insecure. I remember thinking, what's wrong with me? Aren't I good enough? What did I do? What did I say? Am I not attractive enough? Am I not funny enough? Don't I dance good enough? I knew that wasn't the case. In the midst of all, as time passed, as I searched desperately for an explanation, I knew that my desperate speculations would simply lead to nowhere, and I thought what I thought simply because I felt what I felt. And most of all, I think I just felt afraid. Because I had hoped that life would turn out one way, but all of a sudden, in what felt like an instant, it ended up going in a completely different direction. And I felt lost. Lost in loss. Many of you have felt the same way. While the details of the circumstances may be different depending upon the time, the place, and the person, what binds us together in this place is we all have experienced those moments in life when the future no longer seems to be as set as we thought it was. You know your story. Perhaps it was the doctor that gave you bad news. Perhaps it was the parent who gave you mad news. Perhaps it was the professor who gave you sad news. Perhaps it was the friend that moved away, the accident that happened so quickly, or the illness that came unexpectedly. We've all experienced those moments of tragic surprise, and when we do, we all tend to react a bit differently. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. The pace and the order of these stages of grief are as diverse as human life itself. But of course, this experience of unexpected disappointment is nothing new. We read about it in our gospel lesson. These two are journeying down the road to Emmaus, and quite frankly, they felt like they got dumped. The two are walking down the road. They come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but all of a sudden Jesus has been killed on the cross. In the midst of all that is taking place, these travelers fall into these stages of grief. Their lives have taken a turn for the worse. And they moved forward into a reality that they just didn't plan for. They were lost in loss. But the story doesn't end there. It doesn't end because although they thought they had been left by God, what actually happened is that Jesus rises from the dead. And because Jesus rose, the lives of those who followed him were not ruined, but they too were resurrected. And the reality of Jesus' rise was revealed. Those who followed rejoiced. And they felt the fire of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. It is my favorite story in the Bible. It is my favorite story. 2,000 years ago, the disciples thought they got dumped by God. But 3 days later, they realized something else was happening, something more. They realized that they were never alone. And instead of being incarcerated with fear, they were set free with hope. And instead of being intoxicated with anxiety and insecurity, they were given the courage to keep moving forward. It's my favorite story. In many ways, it's your story. It's my story. Because it reminds us of those moments of unanticipated disappointment that we've all experienced. And it shows us over and over again that we do not journey alone. We're reminded here that God does not promise that life will not be uncomplicated, nor does God promise that life will not bring about twists and turns. And also, as much as we want to make the claims that everything happens for a reason, or that God doesn't give us more than we can handle, these cliches simply aren't true. God is not about delivering us difficulties so that we might learn something from them. That would make God a jerk. The promise that we cling to, the promise that keeps us walking, especially when we are lost in loss, is that God is there and that we are not alone. So to conclude where I began, back during my ego-crushing fall of 2001, soon after I chose to move overseas to work with the Lutheran Church in Guyana, I suppose a part of me wanted to travel thousands of miles away from ex-girlfriends. But then in the late fall of 2003, about 2 years later, after I long had accepted what had happened, I received a message from that young woman who had done the dumping. She told me that she had quit her job. She told me that she had joined the Peace Corps. And then she told me that by no choice of her own, they were sending her to Guyana. I thought, what the hell is this? Just a few weeks ago, she and I celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary. It was an arranged marriage. Now, I share this part of the story not to get your hopes up about that past relationship that didn't work out. I'm not sure if that seventh grade girlfriend's going to call you back. But I share it because I do think things have a way of working out. Regardless of whether or not Kristen and I had been reunited in such a strange way, it would have worked out anyway, because God would have been with her and God would have been with me, and everything was going to be all right. And the faith that God journeys with her, with me, no matter where we go, would have been quite all right. So I leave you with this. Life is fun, but life is not always easy. Whether it's midterm exams, whether it's a job, whether it's family issues, with every change in life, there's both gain and loss. And with every gain, there's loss, and with every loss, there is gain. And every time we experience loss, we might feel lost. But in these moments, during this daily Sabbath, when we rest, when we pause, when we worship, when we pray, we are given the promise. The promise to keep walking. No matter who you are, where you are, what you've done, what you've left undone, the promise is that God is there. So keep on walking. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing verse 3 of 790. Verse 3. Thank you. Receive this blessing. Gracious God, as we depart this day, may we be kind, may we be strong, and may we be brave, full of joy, full of love. Amen. I invite you to be seated as we enjoy the postlude from Andy DeLuca on the organ.